This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Episode 39 of the Strong Story podcast here at Place to Be Nation, the Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed. I am your host, Jeffrey Wessel. You can find me at Strong Style Story with E in style on Twitter, and the regular blog is at strongstylestory@tumblr.com. I am here in Strong Style Central in beautiful, snowstormy Indianapolis, whilst the rest of the crew actually in Long Beach, California, for Strong Style of All. Let's cut live to Chris Damasceno on the scene. Chris, what's up?
Hi, how's it going? We're in Long Beach. It's 60-plus degrees outside, predictive of just with nice sunny weather. And, God, the timing just couldn't be any worse for the split to happen and for you to not be here with us.
Well, you know, it's things get in the way, so as Laura and I describe it.
School nights happen. It's understandable.
But hey, you guys could. So who all's with you there?
Well, I'm here, Steve Cash, at Steve Cash. Let's get my Twitter plug out of the way.
That was quick.
What is my name?
And I think we have a first-time guest here today, too. Jana, please state your name for the record.
Oh, hi, I'm Jana. You can follow me at BookJunkieJana on Twitter, and you can also check out other wrestling chats with SOS Wrestle Talk and LK on any number of platforms. Always talking about that.
Yeah, and, speaking of SOS Wrestle Talk, that is, of course, the gestalt entity that are bunches and Dean, and I think they're going to be joining us at some point. During
whenever they get to the hotel,
but,
yes.
You'll hear a
Right.
You'll hear a loud knock on the door when that time comes.
So you guys are actually in a hotel this time, or are you back in another corporate that is totally not an illegal Airbnb?
We're in an actual hotel room this roundabout.
We're legit.
Alrighty, so we got a bunch to talk about. As we discussed this earlier this week, of course, the New Japan Cup 2018 wrapped up, and absolutely nobody called the winner, but I will give hats off to on Zachary Sabre Jr. for delivering a command performance in this tournament, because him and Taka as have been a revelation for this for this tournament.
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of the combination, and not to say I'm Nostradamus or anything, because I was picking Tanahashi originally, but as soon as I noticed they were putting Taka in that role with Zach, I thought this is definitely a star-making, not just a performance, but a push. And a perfect antagonist for Okada.
Now, I mean, I still have to be honest, I'm still not entirely sold on Zack Sabre Jr. as a wrestler. I mean, yeah, he has a distinct style. It's clearly obvious he's trying to bring back the old, you know, world sport style, you know, lots of twist submission moves and limb holds, which is fine. I mean, that sort of thing does its place in pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is not a brudge. I don't know if it personally excites me so much, but at the same time, it's been he had some great performance. I think he's finally coming to his home, come into his own, excuse me, with the personality that he's put forth whilst, you know, part of Suzuki Gun.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree entirely. The Suzuki Gun deal is looking more and more like it was just the perfect fit for him. It just took that extra time to really not only convey his own set of personality throughout these matches, but having somebody there with him that makes it easier, and putting Taka on that role was definitely ingenious. Somebody give a raise to whoever did pitch that to New Japan offices, because it was incredibly well done. Especially if you need to buy Zach as a heavyweight instead of as a junior heavyweight in that case, given his size.
Can we all remember, like, I think it was, what, it was 2 years ago now that, Zach was in the Cruiserweight Classic going off against Kota Ibushi.
Yep.
In all that, and here he is being pushed as a heavyweight, which, you know, you could take one look at him and say, yeah, no, bruh.
That would be
one look at him. But again, right, but again, we can have that debate too of what, you know, what's really a heavyweight, what's really a junior heavyweight, because sorry for a little bit too TMI. I just went to a doctor appointment yesterday. I'm like at 232. New Japan would have me at a junior, but medically I'm obese, apparently, even though I'm clearly not. If you take one look at me, I'm not obese. I have a beer gut. That's about it. But you know, so I mean, we can have that discussion about weights and measures.
We're going to at some point.
But I think the other day we're talking. I mean, didn't last show we discussed we discussed aerodynamics and astrophysics. So I mean, hey, we we go all over the place on this show. So
we talk about Will Ospreay.
What about Will Ospreay?
Bad Jack. Bad
I don't
Jack,
want to
move
talk
on.
About Will Ospreay. Yeah, I don't want to talk about. I know we're going to have to later, because we're going to discuss the Long Beach show. So, Jana, you're kind of silent so far. What's your take on all this?
Well, I would not have picked Zach to win the cup either. I had Ishii pegged to win it, but I'm not in any way disappointed that it played out like it did. I am totally sold on Zach as a wrestler. If I could have ever been a wrestler, I would want to do what he does. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he just blew through decisively the people that he did, the way that he did, I was not expecting to see that, but I'm really happy I saw that, because it was just
right. And look at that. I mean, he bookended it with decisive win over the most over guy in the company, and you know, the ace icon that saved the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, that's how you do a star. That's how you do a star making performance, and I wish, you know, other wrestling companies would learn this. You know.
Yeah,
definitely agree.
But you know,
shout out to
Alan Cheapshot, who you know, another you know, personage on here on the network. Who put out the other day, and I can't agree with it more. You know, it's the God's honest truth. So sorry, Steve, I cut you off.
No, I was just gonna say the way they booked the entire thing was very masterful, because, like, I originally had Tanahashi winning because, just being predictable, I think we all did. I thought it was the natural path to back to Suzuki. And then here we go on the tour shows. We have them teasing Okada and Tanahashi again, which I thought was interesting. But instead, they go with Zack Sabre Jr. and they create a strong new challenger to Okada. While at the same time, you know, you have Tanahashi beating Suzuki. See, I thought it was going to be very predictable. I thought Tanahashi was just going to plow through Suzuki Gun, just the way the brackets were lined up. But I was pleasantly surprised and pleasantly happy with the result. I'll just say that.
Right. Can we talk about the way that this also dovetails into something else? We have a clear unit war going on now, mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. between Suzuki Gun and Wilson Gobernadas. We have an actual clear unit war going on, because Suzuki and Naito have been fucking with each other. Los Dos Peligrosos and Canemaru and El Desperado have been getting into it with interference from Roppongi 3K as well. So, you know, we could talk about that. And now, on the final day, Lance Archer challenged Evil and Sonata for the heavyweight tag belts, which, we'll see if that actually happens, considering Evil, last we heard, is still, nursing this orbital fracture. But, we have, like, the first clear unit war in about a year, I think.
Well, I'm super psyched about this one because of who is involved in it. Just the idea that you have the true assholes of the company, and the good guys aren't really good guys. They're the super popular anti-heroes, almost. It was like, good guys don't care enough to do anything. Who's going to do something? The kind of gray hat guys. And this could be the best, most entertaining thing in a while. And I personally am super looking forward to it.
I think it can't be overlooked. I think this really is finally the official face turn for Los Ingobernables. I mean, it's been coming for a while, but, this is the official face turn. And in fact, they could even dovetail this, they could dovetail this if with Evil being injured, he could, if they actually go full babyface. Obviously, he can't be Evil and a babyface, so this could be the chance for him to revert back to Takaaki Watanabe.
I think people like chanting Evil too
Maybe.
Much.
Yeah, let's keep Evil.
He's got a great catchphrase. When you have little children going, "This is Evil," that's so cute. Yeah.
I've come around on.
I mean, no, I don't disagree, but I'm just saying they could do this.
And I don't necessarily think that it's a full-fledged face turn, because at the end of the day, Los Ingobernables de Japón are a unit of assholes. We love them. But
oh,
they're
yeah.
assholes.
Just
that's the appeal, personally.
Just his gray hat.
But see, it is gray hat. But I mean, as I discuss probably on a daily basis with my honey, this is like one of the few units where actually every single member of the unit is completely over.
It's true, but
there's not a member that's not over. I mean, even Bushi, who keeps getting, further marginalized. Yes, I'm going on a rant here, but I mean, even so, he has, he even has a catchphrase that's over, that's on merch. And Serio.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree with that. But I think a lot of it is they got to this point by doing all of these things and just changing them for the sake of an allegiance kind of war. Because at the same time, the biggest argument that you can make for keeping LIJ the way that they are and still keep them on track against Suzuki-gun is that at the end of the day, sure, they're assholes, but they're assholes who basically work their way through to this company, with certain guys like Bushi and Sonata getting a second chance after, stints in All Japan, Wrestle One, that kind of deal. And then the guys who trained at the New Japan Dojo and went through the grind, like Evil, Hiromu, and Naito, while Suzuki-gun are basically, they're the outsiders in every facet of the word. So,
well, this is a good time to remind folks, and especially newer listeners and people who may be new to New Japan, because they're gaining viewers and followers every day, and maybe not know, but the whole roots of Los Ingobernables, unlike certain other units, where it seems like their whole intention is we're taking over the wrestling world, the whole genesis of Los Ingobernables came from Mexico, where three técnicos got rejected in their own ways, that the most tragic one being La Sombra getting rejected because he was caught on the receiving end of a Volador Jr. face turn. And he was feuding with him at the time, so so La Sombra became the Rudo in that by default. So they were rejected técnicos who didn't want to be Rudos, but they ended up being forced to be. So that's what their whole shtick was, and you could see that same thing in Naito in his development, and about how he, even though he won G1 Climax in 2013 leading into, you know, Wrestle Kingdom 8, how he was rejected by the crowd to the point where, you know, the infamous vote happened that put, you know, a lower belt higher on the Wrestle Kingdom card. So, and it was, you know, and Naito, you know, he got rejected by the fans, and, you know, it just so happened that so did his buddies in Mexico, so it just seemed like a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the...
So, and then, you know, we go through, but there's other links there too, because Tetsuya Naito, of course, is a huge Keiji Muto fan, and both Bushi, who used to be known as T28 in All Japan, and Seiya Sanada, of course, trained in the All Japan dojo under Muto. And I believe that Naito was the patron for both, you know, for both Takaaki Watanabe and Hiromu Takahashi when they were Young Lions, I believe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those.
So there's all those links. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the biggest thing to emphasize is that their status as anti-heroes, I think, are what makes them as special as they are in New Japan, and it kind of also sends this message out that, yeah, they're jerks, but they're not as big a jerks as these guys over here in Suzuki-gun in this situation. So,
right, and let's face it, depending on how long this unit war goes, can we see that there is every chance we could see an encounter between Minoru Suzuki and Rush?
That would be
in the
something.
Ring. There's a chance. That would be something.
War and just like, well, okay.
Man, take Suzuki to Mexico.
God.
Yeah, maybe. Of course, you know, now there's another Ingobernable in Mexico now too. El Terrible.
Oh yeah.
Formerly
yeah.
of Bullet Club.
Oh.
El Terrible is now gone Ingobernable.
There you go.
So yeah, so yeah, there you go. Yeah, I think that's our first Bullet Club turn.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one of those things where at the end of the day, we didn't really see the run-through from Zack on this particular tournament, but it sets up Okada's challenger for tying the record really, really well. It does add some stakes to it, and there's also the equalizer of Taka being there in his corner the same way that Ghetto's been in Okada's corner for many years now, too.
I feel like they've booked Zack into it.
Right, but when was the last time Ghetto actually did something, though?
No,
when was the last time he actually did something in his corner, man?
I'm just saying from like a perspective of having a manager there that can kind of guide you through stuff, motivation, be it what it be. In that situation, Ghetto's at least lent that much to Okada's act over the years. And
I'm not going to lie. I want to see Taka interfere, and I want to see the pop Ghetto gets when he comes in and super kicks Taka. So I'm actually, for once, I wouldn't mind seeing some interference in.
That's fair.
I like Gato, though, so.
Is it bad that I want to see interference and Gato fail to stop it and Taka kick his ass somehow?
Because
I want to see that side of Taka again. When you have the entrance music that Taka Michinoku has... Mm-hmm. How can you not be that guy?
I mean, is it out of the question to think that Zack doesn't have a, or has a chance to beat Okada? I mean, I'm just gonna play devil's advocate.
He has a chance, but I mean, are they gonna pull the trigger on this? I don't think so.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
yeah, does he
record,
have?
They've probably come too far not to finish it.
If they sacrificed Wrestle Kingdom to make Zack Sabre Jr. the champion, Ghetto's not making it home. I'm telling you that right now.
Protect Ghetto.
Tranquilo. Tranquilo.
It's the closest we've come to threats of violence on this show.
You clearly haven't followed my Twitter feed.
But, I mean, all this being said, yeah, all kudos to Zack Sabre Jr. because he delivered the goods in this tournament. Again, he's not personally my favorite wrestler. His style is not my personal favorite, but did he deliver a command performance? Yes, he did. And you know, again, with Taka being his hype man too, is just only added to the ambiance of it. And
His promos have been absolute fire as well. His post matches press conference promos.
No more warm beer. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, right. He's British.
That's what they do. The best part of this is that somebody did post something on Twitter, basically saying, "So look, when Okada does beat Sabre and goes to the back for the press conference, the first thing I wanted to ask is, why is this beer cold?"
Yeah.
Just
yeah, I think I did. I think I did see that. So yeah. So. So yeah, sorry to kind of gloss over the New Japan Cup, but I mean, what more can we really say? It was a good tournament. It was a good tournament. I really enjoyed it. And that's despite some of the big players not yet actually being in the tournament, like Kenny Omega, Minoru Suzuki, Okada, of course. But most of those are title holders, so that'll be why.
Also, that weird thing where we thought Ishii was going to have a bye, and then Yoshihiko, of all people, showed up and made an upset run into the second round before Juice deflated him. That was pretty great. credit Captain Jack Partless for that idea, since we discussed it in his show.
I was going to be that jerk and correct you, but yeah.
It's too brilliant to be corrected. Let's be real here.
I love puns.
Shout out to Captain Jack. By the way, I was on his show.
I know.
Too.
You guys are good. You held the fort down pretty well. He's a pretty cool dude. I saw him last night for the.
I held the fort down. Yeah, I held the fort down. We had to keep it to under an hour and a half because it was a school night over here because y'all's on the coast.
True. No, he normally likes to keep the episodes around that time range too. So it ended up working out. But yeah, altogether, I would say.
At Jack Heartless. I hope I can get to be on that show again. Maybe we can bring him onto this show sometime too. When we get some time.
History wise, with Andre and all that other stuff, but later discussions.
I still have not had time to properly research that. And by the way, that reminds me. On the last Strong Style History episode, we asked. What was your personal Strong Style history, as in what got you into New Japan? We will still take those emails because we have not set a new episode of Strong Style History yet. So get those in, strongstylestory@gmail.com. We rarely use the email account because nobody ever bothers to look at it, if we're honest. So, but yeah, just email us. We want to read some answers on a future show. So. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Good throwback.
Next episode, though, I think... go ahead.
Sorry, no, just as a quick thing before we move on from the New Japan Cup side of things, I would think we're all in agreement for the most part the semifinals and the final match were, can't miss.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know some people don't have really good time to dedicate to the full cards and stuff, but definitely go out of your way to see the semis and the final.
I don't know if we really needed all 9 days being shown on NJPW World, because it really kind of got to be a bit much. And I'm starting to wonder, maybe that should be a discussion topic sometime. We're getting to be too much New Japan content to watch. But maybe that's a conversation to have around G1. But
I think we're about to have some guests here.
We have guests incoming.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, good. Someone I recognize. Hey. I mean, we've been making friends all over.
Hey.
I'm Benches. What up? Make yes. sure.
Thanks.
Hey!
Also, yes, Jeff. Dion and Bunches have arrived. We're literally recording right now.
Oh, hey, what up?
Jeff is right there.
Yep.
Hey, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi, Spencer.
Hi, Dion. Hey, Bunches. Introduce yourselves in the way that you do so well.
It's your boy Dion, aka Young Kadoba, aka the Ghost of Hashimoto, aka the problematic bay in here, Long Beach style, with some good people. Let's go.
Gay.
Yes.
Yeah, y'all missed like a great snowstorm.
Blow! Shots!
Introduce yourself.
How is it? Yeah, introduce yourself to the
what up? It's me, Bunchy Bunches, Dame of Pain. How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? Got myself a new license plate on our walk up here.
Unfortunate soul.
You didn't take all the car, did you?
Oh my god. That's a
nice license plate you got there.
But yes, we got in time. We just finished the New Japan discussion stuff, okay. And we were apparently moving on to Jeff, if you may.
Well, no, hey, Dion Budges, why don't you give your quick takes on the New Japan Cup results since we just got done with that? Go ahead.
All
right. I am very pleased that my boy Zaki won, and he's challenging Okada. And I think I really especially loved, like, the little interaction at the end with Okada and Zach and Ghetto and Taka. Like, 90s called, talk to the hand.
Is it going to be Zaki 4 belts?
Yes.
Possibly.
Zaki all the belts, baby. Zaki all the belts.
It's very possible.
Wait. Hey, hold on. We have a voice there we haven't heard yet. Introduce yourself.
I'm Pinky Days. I'm a burlesque performer / wrestling nut and makeup freak. You can see me Instagram, BINKY Days, Twitter, Pinky Days, Facebook, Pinky Days, and...
Go follow her, stupid.
My regular PWG tag team partner,
there
folks.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're mixing units here today.
Unit mixing, it's all good. You know what I mean?
You should tell Jeff that all three of us are wearing our shirts.
I have mine. I'm going to wear mine tomorrow because you know.
I'm wearing my Zack Sabre Jr.
I'm wearing mine
tomorrow.
But they all have the AAW Showdown Chicago T-shirts on, which people in Long Beach should be very jealous because we probably wanted the four people to have that shirt. So yeah, sucker dicks in the back.
Hell yeah,
that's what it is, gang.
Don't forget, Dion and I are a unit in of ourselves.
Tell them the name, man. I don't have any right now, so you can go ahead and tell them.
Team no beer because we already drunk it.
Hey, no beer, but team mad blunts. But that's for another story. No beer, but mad blunts. But
it's California. Which
coincidentally enough, like Dion and I, we like legit watch Oliver Long Beach yesterday and damn near today, and we're like just walking down the street, smoking our little hearts out, and we haven't seen a single motherfucker. We've had someone come up to us asking like if he can buy weed from us.
I was like, man, you live here, dude. No.
Like, all you need is an ID. You don't got an ID, go to the B&B. We can't help you, bro.
Pretty much.
No, but like, New Japan Cup. I think if Tanahashi would have won, it, to me, it sets up a similar situation that it set up last year. When Shibata won, after he was defeated by Okada, who was the man to challenge Okada right after? Bad Luck Fale, who was what? A New Japan Cup finalist. Once Zack Sabre Jr. eats this Rainmaker and gets the 1-2-3 like we all know is going to happen, who will be the man to challenge him to defend his defense record? One, Hiroshi Tanahashi. It is all this plays into this. It sets into place, man. And I just felt like Zack Sabre Jr. was the best choice because Tanahashi can win this any freaking time he wants. And we've said it many times when we recorded. We was like, damn, New Japan needs to utilize Zack Sabre Jr. more. We've set that at the beginning of the year for the cows come home.
And then suddenly,
suddenly, it's like, what do you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think the cows came home. Oh.
I do want to interject something that I noticed with the progression of Zack Sabre Jr., and I'm pretty sure Chris can agree with me. When you go to, for example, bring in PWG because of the weekend, anytime you watch PWG, especially with the Bola tournament, you have seen the transition. My first Bola was the European British invasion of Zack Sabre Jr., Marty Scurll, Will Ospreay. Now let's fast forward 2 years later. You literally see these guys, with the exception of Tommy End, obviously NXT, have main event in New Japan, have wrestled Okada, have reached the pinnacle. So you see that it's getting there, that crossover. So now it'd be more interesting to see whether or not A, Zach gets it, and B, if he doesn't, who's the next round of PWG transitioning, rising up indie guys to take the next spot.
Keith Lee. Oh, man. Sorry, I got sinuses right now. Oh man, new champion! Congratulations, by the way. So I saw the results. How was that, by the way?
Fantastic.
In attendance and everything. How was that?
We'll
get to that here in a minute.
We'll talk momentarily on it. But good crossover all around. Dick Zack Sabre Jr. does continue to be shown even at these other shows that are not New Japan stuff, and it's been a fantastic transition to watch. I will never forget the fact that at Neon Nights, he legitimately told Flip Gordon, "The Earth is round, you dickhead."
So I was gonna ask, did he call anybody a dickhead?
Yes.
There we go. Yeah.
Pretty sure he called Riddle a dickhead last night too, but that's a long
story. What dickhead? Story. It's like Zack's, you know,
calling card.
Go to.
Yeah, that's like his main word.
Yeah, that's his nickname. Yeah, that's his nickname. Yeah.
No, it's
well, that's the Oasis fan him, because I know the Gallagher brothers were fond of that phrase too. So,
I mean, that's just like the British in him. That's him being British. Have you not listened to LK rant about how much he loves how he like politely insults with that British sarcasm, dickhead.
Hashtag no warm beer, man. That's all I'm gonna say.
I'm still calling bullshit on that one. Sorry. He's British. He ought to be used to that by now.
One more thing. And you notice if you ever watch Zack Sabre Jr. in any promotion he's in, he has his subtle nuances in terms of how his personality shifts. Like it involves, he's definitely that face of the company, nice guy.
Absolutely.
And then when you turn it up to like Rev Pro, that really transitioned him and the teaming with Suzuki Goon, and then that build upon PWG with Leaders of the New School of Marty Scurll, and then you have the pinnacle with him and Taka as his hype man. Literally the meanest, nastiest Zack Sabre Jr. When you see him in all black, you know he's ready to be that British punky, no
son of a bitch,
no filter. I hate the conservatives. Don't eat the damn horse meat, Japan.
Hashtag no horse meat.
Yeah.
Hashtag no horse meat.
Taco's like, oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
He's like,
I will say I do appreciate Zack Sabre Jr. stumping for the Labor Party. I will say I do appreciate that.
It's hilarious. But
let's not forget. Remember when he pulled during G1 last year? Mm-hmm. When he got that random victory over Malakale, and he goes, this one's for animal rights. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Daryl.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's a crossover. That's a crossover right there. You know.
But no, yeah. In terms of it, solid New Japan Cup semifinals and finals were great matches. Naito versus Sabre Jr. is something that somebody should go out of their way to see first round wise, if anything.
Absolutely.
And while you guys weren't here for this, I might as well just cover it again. We were kind of weirded out in how Ishii didn't get the automatic first round bye that he did. But, of course, the power of Yoshihiko was a little too much for him in round one until Juice deflated him in round two. So, anyways, Jeff, transition is over.
I think Yoshihiko was a she. Isn't Yoshihiko? Anyway. So here we're talking. Let's get some, as we said at the top of the show, I'm still here in Indianapolis. Lawrence O'Brien, of course, is being the socially responsible one of us. He is taking part in one of the March for Our Lives right now. I would have been at one of them, except timing with children did not allow it. And plus, we are in the midst of a snowstorm, but I don't know how much that would have stopped us. Honestly, there is. I mean, it's a myth.
I don't know. It's a myth.
So, 3 hours ago, it's piled up since then. So, kudos to Lawrence and kudos to the March for Lives movement too. So I do get a little political on this show, and that's how I'm going to keep it that way. So deal with it.
That's what you do, baby.
But anyway, so the rest of y'all are in the LBC. I saw the photo of our corporate apartment from last time because you know it totally was not an illegal Airbnb. But I'm going to silence my mic here, and I want all the rest of y'all to tell us how Long Beach has been so far, up to and including Pro Wrestling Guerrilla from last night. So let's start with Dion and Bunches. Why don't you take it away?
All right, so first let me just say this is a big event for me. I wanted to look somewhat nice and also beautiful weather. I wanted to wear my fucking dress. I picked out my favorite red dress.
Wait,
no.
Wait. Go much further, because you actually Wait, no, you actually missed last time because of some circumstances, right?
Yeah, some if fucking bullshit. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, so
I'm here. I'm in charge this time around.
Okay. Let's not bring up old wounds. You see, she's wired up right now.
Yeah. Like, I know it's been a year, damn near, but still salting those wounds. So, we're staying on, like, the west side of LBC, and yesterday when we're, like, starting our journey, like, quote-unquote from some, like, dickhead down the street from us, he was like, you're in the bad part of town.
Yeah, I was like...
But really, he's just a sissy.
No, like, no, you didn't even say... So he came up to us first because...
Yeah, okay, no, we get there, we finally get our weed, we're smoking, this son of a bitch is on the second floor, he, you know, sees us, like, we're Romeo and he's Juliet... And he walks down the stairs, you know, like, oh, yeah, don't mind me. I'm just smoking my cigarette. Oh, yeah, let me check my truck. That's not even your truck. Who you playing? You don't drive.
Yeah, you ain't even drive.
And so then he tries to make small talk with us. And we're just like, Deanna and I kind of like look at each other like, yeah, this guy's totally going to ask to hit this. But no, he took it a step further. He's like, hey, can I buy some off of you? No, this is a state where it is 110% legal. Recreationally, if you don't have an ID, not our problem.
Proceeds to show us his Long Beach tats, and I'm like, yeah. I'm not supposed to be impressed, dog. I don't care. I see you have a California tattoo.
Let me show you my Zodiac.
Bro, I played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas many times, and I've seen those same tattoos, so you're not going to impress me.
Right?
So, going with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yesterday, when we were walking down there to actually where we saw, you know, our old spot, we actually ran into some people who were just like, bunches like, here's some music.
Okay, no, wait. No, you're getting too far ahead. Okay, so before we get to, like, the nicer part of Long Beach, like, I'm high, and I take off my Destino shirt, and so I'm just, like, walking down this, like, bad part of town in just this bright-ass red dress, not even thinking about it. And, like, we're walking by, like, all these people, and I'm getting some looks from guys that, you know, not looks I'm really accustomed to, and then, like, we're walking... And Dion looks down at his clothes, and then he looks over at me, and he's like, yo, my sis, you kind of red.
Yeah, you
and I'm
get,
like,
yeah,
oh, shit.
Right
you yeah. Have, you know. That explains a lot. Give me my Nido shirt back.
Neutralize.
Yeah.
Neutralize out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was like, yeah, neutralize. Yeah. Because, you know, hey, I'm not trying to get shot over that, over your dress. Okay?
Right?
But, so we were walking, and Bunches takes some picture in front of
music
playing. I'm like, hey, man, dude's in front of his, like, window. The window's open.
See him.
He's chilling. I'm like, he's just looking
like,
right at you.
I'm like, Snapchatting. I'm like,
he's looking right at you. Like, I'm gonna walk this way because you were being weird right now. So then he comes out. I'm like, see, look what you did. This fool done came
out
of his house.
But it turns out, his name is Robbie, him and his girl Chelsea, they're gonna be at the Strong Style of Box show. And they actually, like, hooked us up with some spots that we should, you know, check out yesterday. And, you know,
tired,
we just, like, hung out for a little bit and just shot the shit.
I got tired.
They were really cool. You can see a picture of them on our Instagram, SOS Russell Talk.
Slime balls.
But yeah, we walked around, just enjoyed the sights, chatted people up, saw lots of cool sights.
Yeah. For me, yesterday, just got in early enough on my end of things around noonish or so was when I made it to the hotel, got checked in. And it was basically just like, try to rest up for like an hour or two before heading up to the Globe Theater for PWG's Time is a Flat Circle, which, excellent name choice, I must say, as a true detective fan. The new venue was
okay,
great.
So can we talk about some bullshit about how they accidentally, quote-unquote, oversold the show?
No, I think a part of it is, and here's my theory on this one, they've had this planned for a while, and I wouldn't have been surprised if they were planning to unleash this venue come Bola time, but because of the PayPal mishap, it's like, well... Fuck it, we gotta do
there was something. No PayPal mishap. This is some carny bullshit. There was no PayPal mishap.
If I can play devil's advocate here, because...
Do you represent him? Did you go to law school?
No. From someone who has done the PayPal thing with PWG, the one who actually told Chris how to do the PayPal thing with PWG, when you have the same model... for the same ticketing system for so long, and you grow and grow and grow, and you don't build, like, say, get a ticket file, get a brown paper ticket, limit the quantity, something's bound to happen when you've got everyone all over the country, including your immediate area, trying to overload one site at one time in one split second. So,
yeah.
So in fairness, we don't know for sure if it was one big grand master plan, but I can tell you, trying to get PWG tickets with that PayPal, it's like it's running the gauntlet of fire and hell.
You know what? It's 2018. We got the technology. We got the resources. You do any other fucking business plan, and you look at the numbers from the year before, and then you plan that shit accordingly.
Yeah.
You look at the times of when shit sold out, and you have to take into account, too, with social media, you have to look at how many people, like how much money would you have made if you could have accommodated, or even if you had done that show, like, during that same week as New Japan, like you did this week. So...
And
we went on last year about how nobody was running during New Japan weekend. Like we all talked about this. Like PWG wasn't running, the Crash wasn't running, Hood Slam didn't come down from Oakland to run something. And now this is the weekend. Oh, this time we are going to run during New Japan weekend? Oh, we oversold the tickets. Oops, our bad. Give me a fucking break. I'm sorry. I mean, it's
probably
said
that just to create more interest.
And to be fair, they did a good job with it because the Globe Theater looked gorgeous in terms of
I saw the picture of it, and it did look pretty nice. But honestly, if I see a new show, half the novelty for me is to be able to go to Reseda, go in the Legion Hall, and bitch at Legion Larry about the lack of AC.
Well, there is that, definitely. But I liked it being a change of pace
But they also came up with a new set that they're only going to use once. Yeah, kiss my entire ass. I don't think that's the case. But anyway, we're digressing. Rick, go ahead and tell us.
It's what we do.
Yeah, we usually tend to do it. I'll say this, though. If they were to use the Globe for, like, the 2-3 night shows like All-Star Weekend and Battle of Los Angeles to justify the new set and everything else, that'd be perfect because it can accommodate obviously more people to come into town for those nights, as well as having the comfortabilities of AC and things like that. Yep. While still keeping some of the smaller shows throughout the year in Reseda as well. So whichever way they decide to do it, hope it's alright. But in terms of Times of Flat Circle, solid card altogether. The only match I didn't particularly care for all that much was the match with the four local guys, which outside of Brody King, nobody really impressed me, and I had seen
Jabronis.
Brody.
I wasn't there.
Steve Cash was not there.
Didn't somebody dislocate his hip during that match?
I'm not sure. I didn't hear anything on it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it had happened for some reason.
I thought I read that somebody dislocated his hip during the match.
Oh, yikes.
Damn.
Yeah, that's no fun. But I mean, in terms of it, Horus versus Janela was a fun little bit of chicanery there between the two of them. Joey Janela matches have just become like... It's not specifically like the greatest, bestest match that you'll get, but like it's fun. Janela's a fun character to watch, and
he's covered Nish for sure.
And Horace is pretty fantastic as well. I'm glad to see him still doing in work.
Ray Horus, if you don't know who he is, is also known as Dragon Azteca Jr. in Lucha Underground. So just anyway, continue.
Anyway, then my personal favorite match, though, out of the entire night was the tag match, which was Bandido and Flamita against Zachary Wentz and Desmond Xavier. Mm. Like, those four just...
Oh, man, I would have loved to have seen that one.
Like, if you saw their Dragon Gate encounter back in January, it was very similar to that vein, but they played the crowd perfectly. Bandido was... over
Bandido is fantastic. I have not seen enough of him, but I want to.
No, yeah, he definitely stole the show in that match. We threw money at them at the end of it, so it was a really good match to go into intermission.
Of course you did.
So, good stuff.
It's always nice.
Mm-hmm. They did that.
I'm very much an advocate of throwing money at luchadors, as Bunches and Dion have witnessed. So.
Right? Jana and I, we have talked before, we're doing this, girl. Going down to Mexico, see some CMLL, see her son,
My wrestling son, CNLL.
Yeah, we're gonna get super drunk. We're gonna be like, Roosh!
Huh?
What?
She said,
I didn't hear you.
You going down to Arena Mexico?
After I get my passport back.
Yeah, she has to get her passport, but, you know, we're going to meet up with Manny and have drinks and go to a lucha show and see all our people. Hi, Manny.
What up, Manny?
Oh.
There you go.
Well,
you
sounded
so disappointed.
I mean, if you want to come, you can come too. It's not like just exclusive.
Hey, cuz, Manny, what's up with it? It's your boy D. What's up, cuz? It's like, what?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, along with that, you also had the Ospreay-Adam Brooks match, which was, if you've seen their past encounters for, like, Progress as well as over in Australia for MCW, you got a bit of the same formula, just put a few little twists added in and there, and it was entertaining for what it was. The crowd eventually got into Brooks more and more as the match went on, which I thought was pretty cool. Cobb versus Jonah Rock was interesting as well in the fact that just about everybody in the venue for the most part was like all in on Cobb, and Jonah actually got to act a little more heelish for once, which was not something he had done prior and receded. Rock actually beat Cobb on top of it all, which was very interesting. The crowd kind of got taken aback.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen that match too.
No, yeah, the crowd kind of got taken aback by it just because they weren't expecting it to just suddenly end the way that it did, but. Then they did Riddle versus versus Zack Sabre Jr., which was fantastic throughout. Not as long as I would have liked it to be in terms of match-wise, but they did a really cool little ending with Zack going for his little stretch pin at first, and Riddle actually catching him in a sleeper. Then a reversal out of set sleeper following, like, the bridge and eventually the pinfall.
I'm glad he won, too, because I feel like, well, you know, I think we all kind of feel the same way here. One, New Japan's probably top promotion in the world, so of course he should get the win because he's wrestling the top wrestler in the world, the top belt in the world. Mm-hmm. So he should win.
And another big thing, too, is that during Zach's introduction as well, when they were introducing both guys, Christian Cole, who's now the announcer for PWG, who does the who did the G1 special announcers announcements last year, and I think he's doing it this year as well. He was going through just the town and everything else, and just like, oh yeah, and he would like to remind everyone that he just won the New Japan Cup 2 fucking days ago.
That's awesome.
Which was
he had taco with him.
Oh man!
I mean, he had on the full black. He had on the full black Suzuki gun, so he came to play outright.
Now I did notice something interesting immediately after we realized upstairs, because I finally showed up after my travel issues at intermission. They had both PWG Tag Champions lose back to back matches, singles. Mm-hmm. So is that some foreshadowing of things to come with?
It should be because at the end of the day, while Zack is currently Suzuki Gun, at one point I believe he was affiliated with the Mighty Don Neal.
Yep.
During his early Noah run, so.
And he also what? When he, was he?
Now wait! Time out! Now who are the current PWG tag team? Is last I knew it was
Matt Riddle
and
Jeff Cobb.
Chosen Bros.
Both lost.
Oh, okay. You know what? I did know that. I forgot about that.
No, yeah, no worries. Right, yeah, right. They won it off of Penta and Phoenix a couple of months ago.
It'll be here in a little bit. Young Bucks have them again. Don't worry about it. They'll have them again.
Yeah.
But they don't really need
it. Penta and Phoenix won't be at Pura, by the way, because they're going to be part of the Bulla Club show in Hoffman Estates.
Saying that Bulla is probably getting delayed until November, more than likely, because of All In running in September.
Fuck that.
Wow. Yeah.
Fuck that.
They're saying the rumor as of right now is instead of it being on Labor Day weekend, they're shifting it to Veterans Day weekend, but nothing set in stone as of yet. You never fucking know.
Nobody gets old for Veterans Day. I mean, unless you're a government worker or in school, or work for a bank, you don't get off for Veterans Day.
I mean, I don't have that issue personally, but...
Yeah, right?
I don't have that issue for a few more years.
No, it's more like my holidays fall in bank holidays, so like it covers for that, thankfully.
Nice.
But just kind of shifting really quick, scheduling-wise, because we don't know what's going to happen, but it's unlikely that they book Bola and All In the exact same weekend. But no, the main event being Chuck Taylor against...
I am not spending Labor Day weekend back in Huntington Estates. Forget that. I grew up there. I'm not going back. Fuck that.
Yeah. You're just like, the memories. The memories.
Hey, are any of y'all trying to go to that All-In show? Because me, personally, I'm trying to stay away from that, honestly. Like, not even because the wrestlers, but more or less because the fans are being...
No, yeah, that's, I think, one of my big issues. And then the other thing is...
Well, let me tell you this. Huntington Estates is suburbia, period. I mean, you know, it is... I mean, it's right next to Schaumburg, which is where Woodfield Mall is. I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but I mean, yeah, it is suburbia, and that's where I grew up, and actually where I met my honey too. But you know, the fact of the matter is, no, I do not want to go to Huntington Estates for wrestling. Sorry.
You would lie.
Yeah.
No.
but in terms of it, I would say this: the main event, pretty solid as well.
I left it. Never came back.
Yeah. But no, yeah, Keith Lee. Finally won the title, 1 year to his debut in PWG on top of it, and it was really solid match. The big thing to play on is that while Chucky actually legitimately tried to kill Trent at Neon Knights, and I was there in person to witness this, he actually held back this time around from, like, hitting Keith with the belt and everything else, and that eventually, like, was what cost him in terms of, like, getting picked up for a spirit bomb.
Because he actually likes Keith Lee.
He doesn't like his best
friend. Doesn't like his best friend.
Yeah.
For him to lose the belt to Ricochet, only to get it back from Ricochet, and now lose it to Keith Lee, that's kind of too. Was it too much of a jump? I already
but
a
no,
on Keith Lee.
I think he's got big things on this.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for we didn't really touch base on this on the New Japan Cup side of things, but. Chuck Taylor was in the New Japan Cup, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
let the record show.
The record show that. And not just that, but between him being a little bit busier with Ring of Honor now, too, and stuff like that, his career's finally taking off after, like, 15-plus years
when
of this
kind
retire, of... Yeah, I do remember that. So, no, I'm happy for Dustin altogether, and I hope he keeps still being able to do grabs and... Reseda or Los Angeles for PWG related stuff.
Don't screw this up, Dustin.
Sure.
And then,
Dustin's not going to screw it up. Give Dustin a chance. He has proven himself. God damn it. You have heard what Okada said.
Yep.
Him and Dustin, they're taking wrestling to new places. They're the best tag team now. You hear that, Young Bucks? No.
And now we get into
no.
arguments with my friends that don't like Chuck Taylor. They're like, why is he with Okada? Why is he in KO?
I hate it when they brought him over at first. I was like, why did they bring him over? But then he won me over. I can admit when I'm wrong.
Because
like, no doubt.
You ever seen the Twitter interactions with the pervy comments and all the stealing of the selfies, stealing Taylor?
No, I got her into shock.
Here in Trent. Be like, what the fuck, guys?
Yeah,
forget about me?
Yeah, can I just say that they have the best Twitter interactions? They're like
my
favorite.
Oh, they do. They fucking do.
So it's going
to be... I go on Twitter just for them.
Yep.
So it's going to be very interesting to see where he goes from here with the New Japan Cup. Who are they going to give him that heavyweight push, put him in the lightweight division? What is in the cards for Chuck Taylor?
What I think, to answer your question a little bit, what kind of hurt him right now, if freaking Trent was healthy... They would be a viable team to challenge for those IWGP heavyweight tag belts.
They really
would. They would be a viable team for that. But they're going to, because they see that he is pretty much getting a nice response and people are liking him because if they weren't liking him at all, he wouldn't have been in this tournament. They'd be like, all right, we can go ahead and put, let's see, David Finlay, what are you doing, my dude?
Yeah,
going
exactly.
To get in the tournament. So they clearly are taking a liking to him. And I like that Chucky T has taken his trips over to New Japan seriously because that's what was, you know, in question for me. I was like, is he going to take this serious? Mm-hmm. How many grenades are we going to see? You know, I mean, I was just like, I was kind of questioning that. But, to his credit, he's taking it serious.
He still plays the kind
exactly.
of goofy character and stuff like that, but it's never, but
yeah,
it's never
he knows
too
when
handy.
To call it.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows which matches he could be more silly with, and the ones that he needs to step up and be serious.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Chase Owens, by the way.
Yeah,
Chase
Owens.
Yeah.
Chase
I don't mind Chuck Taylor. I think you know I think he hasn't quite fully acclimated yet, but he may get there sooner than later. So that's just my opinion.
Chase Owens, incredibly underrated,
absolutely.
Still. Like,
yeah.
Yes, he is.
God, I wanted him to package Pro Tribe Okada so
you're gonna
bad.
You're going to do it someday, buddy. Same. You're going to do it. We believe in you.
Yeah, Chase.
You're
going to
do it.
Chase
is on the case. Chase.
And this is the first chant we officially get in Strong Style Story after 39 episodes.
Hey,
way to go, guys.
Hey, last year, y'all, Yujiro, though. Jennifer
39 plus. If
Yujiro,
you
like,
special.
He's like, oh, me?
Yeah.
I'm going to take this for what it's worth. That was great. Yujiro.
Lift it up.
So are we done with PWG? Okay, I have one last question relating to PWG. This is for you directly, Chris Dumbo. What the fuck is the blue drink?
It was basically like a mixture of like a couple of different shots and like the blue Curacao. I didn't really catch the ingredients per se, but it was strong. Some people made the mistake of getting too much of it at once. Kind of had some issues
with it a little bit, maybe slightly.
Sammy just got drunk on it very, very quickly and was not expecting the second one to hit just as hard as the first. But hey, nature of the beast, man. Nature of the beast.
Shout out to Ruby and Sammy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Jana and Steve, I think the two of you actually made it in today, correct? Saturday as we record.
Yeah, I got here this morning at like 7:45 and took the shuttle to the hotel, and that's as far as my adventure has been so far.
It's just getting started.
I'm so glad that you didn't get here when it was raiting. Like, I first time flying to LAX, didn't realize how the airport was designed. It's a fucking horseshoe. Yep. I was at gate 6. Dion was at gate 7.
Oh.
I got off first. It was like, Dion, I'm gonna find you! The lady was like, don't take the shuttle, just like run straight across. And it's like, very, very evident that California is not prepared to handle rain because there was no coverings.
No. I could have told you that. We lose our mind if we get any rain.
Yeah, right?
As the resident Californian here, I believe.
I'm like running right on these like pretty plants, and I'm like, oh, I wish I could take a picture, but I'm getting soaked. Fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we drove up this morning, and our adventure began at about 2 a.m. this morning with my daughter not wanting to go to sleep. And, just a night of no sleep. And I got up. I pounded that 5-hour energy drink. I put on my NWO shirt. I put on my Power Ranger sweater. I was going to say I took a shower, but I actually took a shower first. And we got here by about 9:30, I believe, this morning. So, not very exciting. I'm just very tired, and that's kind of why I'm rambling. There's nothing behind this statement at all. But, that's it.
As for Binky's travels, I missed my flight yesterday. And then having to find a brand new flight and going back and forth. And that was at Dulles. And for anyone who ever flown at Dulles,
it's horseshit.
Don't. There's trains. There's crazy. Don't. So we found a flight where I had to go back to the RVA, for those who don't know, Richmond, Virginia, where I live. And then there was
You live in Richmond?
I live in Richmond.
I used to live in Richmond.
Wait! So I went to the RVA airport with my friend who was already working on 24 hours no sleep, and I was on 36 hours no sleep, only for there to be a major malfunction on 95. And we had to take the back roads, and we almost got hit by two tractor trailers. But I made it to the airport, last one, Southwest flight.
Holy shit.
Turbulence on the second Southwest flight where I got here after sharing a shuttle with 5 other people, then having to get on the Metro, which is probably, wow, Chris, thank you for warning me about the Metro. That was some sketch.
Yeah, that was some shit. Like, I'm glad I went during the day portion of things, because at the very least I was like rush hour and like regular people mixed in with everybody else, but it was a mess.
Luckily, I put on my very gothy, punky, glittery makeup and just minged the entire time so no one messed with me. Finally made it to the venue, then ordered a lift because looking around, I'm like, I'm not walking through this. And
dude,
made it.
I got a spicy story about lift.
Oh. I think we saw a drug deal last night, and as we were walking up the...
We dead as saw. We're going up the stairs to the parking lot with the person that drove us back.
It was either a drug deal or a prostitution deal. We don't know. Both,
probably.
But continue with your spice.
Oh, she has a blood feud, basically.
Yeah. Jesus, Lyft driver, go fuck yourself.
Oh, wow. Since we're talking Delta...
Watch out now.
Oh, Delta, you can literally go blank to blank, blank to blank.
And you
blank
know what?
Blank, blank to blank.
I'll add on to
mother
that.
Blankers.
And I'll add on. I don't like being on planes where, you know, I got a, you know, risk of a dog dying. So, you know
yeah.
what? Fuck all that,
right.
too.
I had Southwest. Hey. It was actually a very nice flight.
Yeah.
I had a one of the flight attendants look like Tommy's
like,
used
no,
to.
Man, y'all got it.
So, it was pretty cool.
Y'all got it covered.
But it was not. It was not him, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Right.
But she tagged Tommy Wiseau in that tweet, and now that is not going to end well for anybody, because you know he's going to do something with it.
I hope he does.
Yeah, I hope he does, too.
Yeah, me too.
I hope he does.
But
and,
he's
you
not
know.
Going to leave you alone. He's going to be that friend you don't even want anymore.
Hey,
and
that's okay.
You can't.
If he wants to make the room, too, I will be Mark or whoever,
yeah.
Greg or whatever. I will be that dude who will fall around all day.
So let me be Lisa. I already got my bread trust.
In other words, everyone in this room will be torn apart.
Pretty much. You're tearing us apart.
Not me. I'm not leaving.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, like, I wanted to use Lyft because I never used Lyft before. I used to use Uber, but then they became trash.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to use Lyft. Try this out. Our fucking guy, he's like... This dude might as well have been, like, driving down the street instead of, like, driving through a pickup zone at an airport. Because this motherfucker, he was not slowing down. He kept going. I yell, and I kind of, like, start chasing after him. He stops, and then the motherfucker keeps going. I'm like, seriously? Okay, maybe he
yeah,
didn't see me. So then I try calling him. He doesn't answer. Then he calls me, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm at your pickup spot. I'm like, no, you're not, because I'm at our pickup spot. Where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm at gate 8. Like, oh, gate 7? That's where you need to go? So, like, we have this little exchange. And so then he's tried to, like, backpedal and say that he was at gate 7, but then he was asking me to go to gate 8. Gate 8 was nowhere to be fucking
yeah.
found.
Like, you're talking about the shrubbery over here? These,
yeah.
These bushes? That's
yeah,
not gate
so,
eight.
Like, the guy wanted to act like he couldn't comprehend the words that were coming out of my mouth. And, long story short, he, like, hung up on me and, like, charged me, like, $5 fee. And I'm like, oh, fuck you. Automatically, like, hit up Lyft, send them an email, like, yo, your driver, what a piece of work. Let me tell you, X, Y, Z, these are the reasons why I'm probably not going to use Lyft again. And so then, like, tweeting at Jana about it, then Lyft, like, chimes in, like, oh, send us a message. And I'm like, I did. Like, oh, we didn't see it. It's in your email, not your DM. Check your email. And so then these fuckers are like, instead of just, like, refunding my money, and because, like, honestly, after that, I was prepared to, like, just uninstall it, but they won't give me my $5 back. Instead, they're going to use it, like, $5 credit towards something else. I'm like, whatever. But it's only good for, like, barely 2 weeks, which is kind of fucked up. So we ended up walking from the airport to In-N-Out Burger, and then I get another Lyft after we eat, and we see him, and I'm like, is this gonna happen again?
It
what
was
the
straight
fuck?
On some kung fu movie shit to where like she was talking to him on the phone.
Yeah,
his mouth was not moving.
Out.
He was
his
like,
mouth was just not moving.
It's like, is this you? He's like, yes. He did not say anything. He's just still. I was like, wait,
like,
are you sure that's him? Like,
we're like, okay, well, we're just gonna hop in this car and hope for the best. But yeah, like this dude. What was his name? Was it Peter?
Yeah, it was Peter.
Peter. He was awesome. He was a good Lyft driver. Gave him a good review. But after this whole trip. Fucking dumb with Lyft.
No, it's like, I must have been lucky because both Lyft drivers I had last night, both female, both chill, but knew their shit, knew their stuff, and just fine. So it's like, it's this Uber that's the one that became real trash lately. But we're here now.
I'm about to say, we've dropped so many F-bombs, so I mean,
yeah.
Like, me personally, me and Bunga, like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I lost the swearing fight a long time ago, so yeah.
That was probably us.
We made it 4 episodes.
I think I made it, like, 1.
God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we made it longer than that. It's longer than that.
I think
we made it, like, 10, actually.
One time. And it was, like, when we first started, and we were like, who are we kidding? We are who we are. We're fucking
slimeballs.
Fuck. So Long Beach, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Nah, it's sucking here, dude. Trade me, Jeff. I want to be in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
With that 3 feet of snow right
I don't
now.
Want to see like hunky guys.
I, yeah.
God, no. Let me go.
Actually, I don't
snow. Want
to see that, so I won't go to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to the reason why everybody's there. The Strong Style Evolve card finally got announced Wednesday night or Thursday afternoon, depending on where you are. It is, of course, happening on Sunday, March the 25th. It will be live in the U.S. on Act TV, which means we get another round of Jim Ross and Josh Barnett, and I hope JR doesn't have a mayor like he did last time.
Last year, you know? Mm-hmm. We need to kind of cut him some slack.
Well,
he's going to be drunk than a motherfucker.
I'm cutting him some slack. Barnett was actually some slack. He had a really horrible year last year, so I'm cutting him a lot of slack, but...
I'm just kidding.
Like the opposite of what I just said, but sure, Dion, we'll go with that.
And it
will be on NJPW World, the rest of the world. It will be, if you don't have access, it will be up on NJPW World after the fact. So I don't know if it'll be, the JR and Barnett broadcast, or if it'll be the Japanese one. I don't know yet, but. In any event, let's go down the card real quick. The opening match will be the entire Roppongi 3K, Rocky Romero, Sho and Yo, against SoCal Uncensored, who are Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and LA Dojo assistant head coach Scorpio Sky.
Yep. Dude, when we were looking at this match card, they didn't even have like a picture for, was it Daniels?
They still don't have it. He's dressed up in New Japan before.
Maybe this means that Daniels is going to have some kind of new gimmick.
Today is his birthday.
You never know. Happy birthday, Christopher Daniels.
Happy birthday to Fallen Angel, yes.
I'm going to jump in. Tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh, shit. Christopher Daniels.
I want to thank New Japan for giving me the best birthday present possible and my lovely honey, let's call her that, for making all this possible, too. So shout out to my honey.
We want to thank New Japan for being able to perform for you for your birthday.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Well, happy birthday, Steve. So how old will you be, Steve?
What was that, Jeff?
How old are you going to be?
Oh, God, 33. I don't even want to say.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm
still a young child.
In April. 34.
I'll be 31 in November, so it's
fine. Man, we're getting old. We're catching up to you, Jeff.
I'll be 45 in April. Yeah, I'll be 45 in April, so yeah.
Moving on.
Juice Robinson and David Finlay against Hirooki Goto and Gato. That's going to be a lead-up match for the inevitable Goto versus Juice Robinson never openweight title match that has yet to be announced. But, so fun times there.
Or is Gear in wrestling?
Yeah.
That's because he lost a bet.
What?
Juice has the worst gear in wrestling, is what I said.
Yeah, and I said it's because he lost a bet.
Can you speak into the microphone, dude?
Yes, right. Dion.
This is my theory. Anytime that we see a wrestler come out, anytime a wrestler comes out and like some wild ass new gear, it's probably because he lost a bet. And so, like, what we need to see now is how long is he gonna have this gear? Because he only has this gear for like maybe another 2 months tops. Oh, hell yeah. He lost a bet.
Dead ass, he looked like a character from Crazy Taxi when he's coming out. When he
was
like, he's just like, I'm like, all right, okay, bro, that's good.
Dude, that's fucking gear. Oh, my God.
The third match, Toriano and Chuck Taylor against the Killer Elite squad of Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith Jr. The fourth matchup will be the first of two inter-Bullet Club matches as the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa, take on Cody Rhodes and Marty Scurll. So does this mean that the Tongans are all siding with Kenny Omega now, or is this just whatevs?
The Tongans are on the Tongans' side. Yep. Let's be real.
They on the Booker T side where they take what they want, and if you ain't on their side, they going to, you know, they gonna foot up your ass.
Delivery.
the fifth match. Oh
what?
Boy. the fifth match is eight-man tag match. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kushida, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Dragon Lee making an appearance from the only CMLL talent on this show, going up against Los Ingobernables, Naito, Sonata, Bushi, and Hiromu.
Woo!
Say what?
I didn't look at the card before. I didn't look at the card until I was actually on the plane. And so when I was deciding what to wear, I was like, I'm going to wear my Taguchi shirt. And so I get at the airport, I'm looking at my phone, I look at the card, and I'm like, kind of like throw my phone down. I'm like, fucking Taguchi!
I didn't look at this match until now. I didn't realize Taguchi was on the show, and I'm so excited.
Oh my god, Taguchi!
It's good.
That means you're going to have Taguchi merch!
If anyone knows where Taguchi is,
Taguchi
at me, I want to have a drink.
Oh, he's a star now.
Himself,
yeah. He got on camera.
Yeah. Anyway, I am slightly disappointed that, like, because I've always wanted to meet Tanahashi so that we could discuss hair stuff, and I, like, didn't bring anything to make my hair look nice. So I'm like, don't look at me, Tanahashi. Don't look at my hair.
Tanahashi's selfish right now. You don't care. You're like, oh, you got nice hair.
I'm
number one now.
That reminds me. Speaking of merch, that reminds me. I got to get y'all merch money. So, yeah, I got
to
do that.
You
right, dude.
Say again?
You got to look and see what you want, too.
You can have that token
like,
shop.
Yeah. You know, unless you want us to send you photos when we get there.
You could.
I mean, like, let's be honest, but it would be a lot easier and a lot more time efficient if you look at the site, look at what general idea, what they got.
Listen to my budgets over here. Look at the site.
Yeah, you know, because you never
I have an idea of
what technology wants to fuck
I have an idea
you, and like, oh yeah, I sent it, and then you get it like an hour later. We want to make sure you get your...
All right.
So look at the
of
site.
Course. All right. All right.
Pick a plan B and a plan C too.
Are you gonna ground them next? What's next?
Yes. If you're rude,
somebody send me a link then. All right,
for sure.
All right. The sixth match is the bait and switch, if you ask me, because we knew weeks ago that Rey Mysterio Jr. had a bicep injury. So this match was a complete bait and switch. So this is some Carney bullshit on the part of New Japan. I think Carney bullshit's becoming our catchphrase on this show.
Absolutely. Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, though, but Ray wrestled a few days before they announced this, did he not, for the crash?
No, I think he was.
I don't know, actually. I don't know if he made that crash show or not.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
Which...
So wait, say that again.
No, Chris was correcting me. I guess he was pulled from the show, but he was still pulled from that show sooner than the New Japan card, which is kind of silly.
Yeah, that's kind of a Carney thing. So now we get Jushin Liger against Will Ospreay, which is nowhere near as exciting and
no,
meaningful. But
I know,
you know
Will Ospreay gets a lot of hate because he's kind of an idiot, but. I enjoy watching him, so I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, I really hope
I enjoy watching him too, but
to
it's not the same thing as Rey Mysterio Jr.
I want that shirt.
Yeah. Also, I'll say this: if he busts out the black Liger gear like he did in Rev Pro the first time around that they met there, I'll be okay with this.
That would be pretty dope.
That would be dope. I'll grant that. Third to last match on the show, Kazuchika Okada and Tomohiro Ishii against Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. This is a lead-in match for Soccer Genesis, of course. So that'll be a fun match. I see myself enjoying that one.
This is the most anticipated match I'm looking forward to, I think, because I don't care about the next match. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the semi-main is the only title match on the show, possibly the least consequential title match we could have hoped for. Jay White defending the IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Championship, you know, the title that was created for the last run of Long Beach shows, against M. Page, which, okay, yay.
Hey, remember that big tournament they had with all the main eventers and to crown the first champion, and now we're back in Long Beach. And look, I'm being harsh. I actually like Jay White a lot, and Hangman Page. I think they've both come a long way. So
yeah, I'm really hoping that seeing Jay White in his Switchblade role really helps me get the image of, like, what is it? Is it Babyface from Batman the Animated Series? Because, like, every time I see Jay White, I just see, like, baby head on fuck body. Like, every time. And, like, the last time that I saw Jay White was at Global Wars in October, and this was before, you know, he was Switchblade, and my drunk ass was heckling him. I was like, Jay White! Switchblade! Do the mannerisms with my hand.
I'm looking forward to it. Jay White has become gradually one of my favorites since his return into the New Japan side of things there. Even with the new gimmick and everything else, And I think for Paige, it's kind of like it's that one match that he's got now to prove himself actually worthy rather than just being, you know, random Bullet Club mid-carder. So I think those two are going to come in with something to prove, and hopefully we'll get a decent match out of it.
Yeah. Dude, have any of y'all ever seen Adam Page's Instagram?
No.
Why is he trying to be like John Cena as far as like the content that he posts?
That's all I'm going to
say.
That's
all I'm going to say.
I have no answer for this.
Yeah. Open-ended. Check it out if you want to. Yeah. If you don't, you're really not missing much. John Cena is funny.
We can definitely revisit that later. So then, the main event. That's our homework for this episode. The main event is... I think, Chris, you called this, actually. The main event is... The Golden Lovers, Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega against the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson.
Seriously, though, like, how would that not main event? You have the fucking Golden Lovers. Mm-hmm.
Well, in fairness, if they had gone with Naito and Jericho.
If up to the heavyweight, of course they were going to main event. People aren't going to be there to see Jay White and Adam Hangman Page. No, heavyweight Young Bucks, Golden Lovers.
There you go.
I mean, to be fair, they did have money before any of this was booked, but that's either here nor there.
Yeah. And they were also heavily teasing Naito against Chris Jericho for a while, too, so that could have definitely made a mention.
I really think the only reason that's not happening is because whatever negotiations they had going on with Jericho just did not go through the way that either party wanted, so it is what it
is. I'm so glad that that's not happening,
you know, at least here at this show. Just because, like, before, I felt like having, you know, Omega and Jericho, it kind of, like, took away the spotlight from Okada and Naito. And so I feel like, because there's going to be a lot of people who don't fully understand or appreciate how amazing of an opportunity this is for us to get the Golden Lovers. So I feel like if they had Jericho and Naito happen at this one, it would have taken some of the spotlight away from Golden Lovers.
That's
and
a good
Young
point.
Bucks.
And you maybe risk a chance of people who are not familiar with Naito getting like Y2J chance started, and I'm not trying to be there for that.
No, absolutely. That would have happened.
I'm not trying to fight somebody.
Exactly. We're not trying to hide bodies.
Okay?
And I say this
is
somebody
spicy,
who like, loves
yeah,
Chris
considering
the
crowd,
reason I got into pro wrestling, but no, I'd be full of myself away.
The cheer for this guy!
Oh, I have a funny story with the
Golden Lovers.
I have a coworker at my current employment. Never was a pro wrestling fan, sweet person. And I'm like, so I started doing the running gag, showing her anytime Marty's singing for Being the Elite. And she's like, oh God, what? And then I started showing her stuff with the Golden Lovers. And she's like, what? And then I showed them that online that fan documentary someone made about the history of the Golden Lovers.
Showbuck.
Oh, that's so good.
So we started watching it at work on our break, and she's like, she got so emotionally invested on two people she's never seen. She's like, no,
oh,
that's your boy.
Dude.
No, they need to be together. I love, no, don't ever betray him again.
Yeah.
So literally in one YouTube video, which some promotions could really take a note, that's how you build something very climactic, very emotionally invested, because you're able to take this one random person who's never watched wrestling, and now she's an instant Golden Lovers fan.
Absolutely. I have this one friend who I legit see like once every 4 years, and she was coming down to Indy for a Flogging Molly show, so like her and her friend came down, we were hanging out, having some beer, and Tiana and I were like, yeah, wrestling, here, watch this video. And we played that Showbuckle Golden Lovers history video. And, like, these are two people who don't watch wrestling whatsoever. And they had the same opinion. They were like, yo, we don't watch wrestling, but we are invested in this now. Like, where can we see more? Where can we follow this?
I actually think
that's... NewJapanWorld.com.
The storyline is actually really interesting because exactly what they're saying. My honey... She's casually into wrestling. It's more so because I'm into it, but you know, she really does try really hard. She loves.
Tell us how
the
you
know,
honey, who you like.
She loves Kenny Omega.
She got him out.
Yeah.
Kenny, the Young Bucks. I'm really taking a big liking to Marty Scurll, and Chuck Taylor. Those are my main ones. And then, of course, Jushin.
Yeah.
She likes Jushin Liger.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? I don't know if this has been said yet here in this room, but goddamn it. Heavyweight Taiichi.
Yes!
Yeah!
My man!
Yes!
My man!
Heavyweight Taiichi.
I was waiting for an opportunity.
Yes.
I'm taking it now. Heavyweight Taiichi Dono. I love
you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was on this train before any of y'all.
You were.
I want to say when Chris posted his picture with his hair on Twitter, I said he looks like an idol singer. I'm like thinking next year, MadFest 2019, heavyweight Chris and Taiichi with the microphone going down.
Oh, so many people are gonna try to punch me in the face.
Oh,
oh, don't let me see. I'll just grab it and be like,
and
all right, Chris.
I just be in that dress, just like, oh, hold on, microphone.
We gotta replicate that ding.
Ding.
MadFest 2019, make it happen.
No,
I got a mask.
All right.
So, Jeff.
So,
hey, Jeff.
Yes,
I know, like, Dion and I haven't ate, and Jana hasn't ate yet.
Yeah.
So, we're going to dip out and go get some food, but we love you.
Thank
you for
right,
having
right.
us on.
We love you, too, and everybody have fun. Hey, plug yourselves real quick.
How are you all right? Well, you know, you mother. I'll stop myself. Slime
you mother truckers.
You know where to find us at? SOS Wrestle Talk, Twitter,
Instagram.
We
need to get
SoundCloud.
Keys if you want to go
we hit, sometimes we holler at our buddy across the pond, mate. LK, I know he wish he could be here, as do you, but you know, we're going to hold it down for both of y'all.
Yeah.
Because the brand is strong like that.
You can catch us a lot on Loudmouth Wrestling Network on YouTube with LK, so go ahead and subscribe to him
also,
if you haven't.
Jana's there too, so follow her at
Jana. Follow her so you can see us online.
All right. Well, I'll talk, and I gotta get you that merch money too. So we'll connect about that offline.
You need to hurry
bit,
it
so.
Up, boy. No.
All right.
Yes, mom. Okay.
All right. So,
Davey Taft.
I just want to say this card to me. I know last year in Long Beach, and said that they didn't get a traditional New Japan type show. Well, I think they've got it this time because this is a Corican Hall show, basically.
Oh.
Look at you.
Dropping
shit.
We had an emergency.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm still here,
uh-oh.
Jeff.
He's like, I'm still here for you.
Everyone's walking away, except your old buddy Stevie. He's still here.
Once we said food, it was like, oh, God.
Yeah,
like,
food. Del Taco.
We shall return.
Yeah.
In other words, go do your stuff, and then you guys are checking in.
We're going to try to check in, yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
You were cutting out a second ago, Jeff. Sorry.
Sorry to steal a line from Jesus and Arrow, but is my show getting in the way of your conversations here?
No. It got in the way of their eating, though. That was awesome.
Oh, boy.
All right, so, again,
the card really is kind of underwhelming. It seems like a Corkin Hall show to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, they sold it out in 20 minutes, so they didn't even really need to go to the effort they did, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you're right. But, you know, that's the problem with, you know, selling out a show before the card's released, you know. I don't know. I mean, we could have that discussion. You know, overall, though, I mean, am I going to be watching it? Well, of course I will be, you know. So, you know, it's New Japan. It's kind of what we do. Real quick, though, there is a show next Sunday called Sakura Genesis. They've only announced two matches of the – which we've already kind of discussed at length. Kazuchika Okada making his V11 defense against Zack Sabre Jr., of the IBGP Heavyweight Championship, and then of course there's another junior heavyweight three-way tag, between Kanemaru and El Desperado, Roppongi 3K, and Los Dos Peligrosos. That's all that has been announced for right now. They have not even announced anything for the road to Sakura Genesis shows. Stay tuned to the blog for that. I will update when we can, but I guess we can't really talk about something that hasn't been announced yet. So,
in
full, but
it'll happen eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, before I go much further, now, are you guys, I know we floated the idea of you guys maybe doing a post-show episode, like a kind of a supplemental
show. Yeah, I don't think we'll be able to, unfortunately, just because of, by the time the show's over, everybody else is going to be a little more scattered, and I know I'm flying out way early on Monday, so it's...
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
All right, so I guess next time we reconvene, we'll discuss this and in Sakura Genesis in full. The next time we reconvene. Damn. Okay, so there's like there's some supplemental things going on, like that one of which I'm not even really prepared for. But there's like a first of all tomorrow the 25th. As we record this, big day for wrestling, for Japanese wrestling, of course, because of, you know, we have, you know, Strong Style Evolve going on. All Japan is running their show, which I am actually going to watch live on All Japan TV. I made the plunge. I'm going to take this chance. I'm also going to register finally for DDT Universe because the potentially final Great Muda match will be happening at DDT Judgment.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to have to watch that. So in some way, shape, or form. And then, of course, it's the last day of the March Sumo Tournament, which, to tie that in, Kazuchika Okada was, of course, cited at day three or four or five of the March Tournament. I actually saw it because I get NHK World on my TV, so I actually happened to see Kazuchika Okada. Yeah, so yeah, I've actually been watching it. We're not turning this into a sumo podcast, but you know, it's been some fun times. It's been some very compelling watching. But I know that there's a bunch of, there's a few New Japan wrestlers that are going to be at Mania weekend, mostly for the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor. I know about, you know, Cody Rhodes against Kenny Omega, and I also know that Hiroshi Tanahashi will be teaming with Jay Lethal against the Briscoe Brothers.
Yeah.
But I think Tomohiro Ishii, is he going to be on the Ring of Honor show too, or is he just going to be wrestling Jeff Cobb at that? What is it? Is it Repro?
No, I don't think it's Repro, but I think he is. He's not doing that match, but I don't think it's at RevPro specifically off the top of my head, because I know RevPro it's supposed to be Minoru versus Cobb.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Possibly, yeah, the Super Show, yeah. But, yeah, they're kind of spread around between a couple of them working the Ring of Honor portion. Most of them that have worked RevPro seemingly working RevPro in that case as well, so... It's intriguing how spread around they are the next couple of days. Then there's the fact that Great Sasuke is
Yeah, I mean, there's
going to
be a lot of action. Say again?
Then there's the fact that Great Sasuke, of all people, is flying his old ass to New Orleans to fight Joey Janela. Probably try to kill him.
I may not get to watch that match live because I'm going to C2E2 that weekend. So I may not be seeing any of those shows.
Craziness,
but yeah, we'll see. I know that they've also announced they have announced the best Super Juniors dates. I haven't blogged on it yet. I do want to point out one other thing on what is it? Sorry, I'm losing my mind here. April the 10th, 3 days before my birthday. Hint, hint. Lionsgate.
Oh yeah,
we're happy about.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Because we have two young lions, and in Yuya Kimura, he's the guy that you probably saw Suzuki beat up one of the New Japan Cup shows.
Yeah.
He was getting I'm sorry, that was Yoshi. I'm sorry, that was him that was getting beat up. He will be facing Tomoyuki Oka in his debut. He is born September 8th, 1993, 182 centimeters, 91 kilograms from Yokohama. His athletic background is baseball, taekwondo, and American football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember reading up on it
there. And then there's Yuya Uemura, who will face Ren Narita in his debut. He's from Imabari. I don't have his age, but he's 180 centimeters, 82 kilos. And when he was at the 71-kilo level, he was a champion Greco-Roman wrestler.
Yeah. Good background.
So they're mining amateur ranks once again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The rest of the card is quite telling too. After that, Tiger Mask for and Tetsuhiro Yagi will be taking on against a very minor Team 2000 reunion of sorts, which I know that Team 2000 reunited recently at Keiji Muto's Pro Wrestling Masters, and we never talked about it, and now too much time has gone on for me to go back and look at it. But anyway, Hiro Saito. Yeah, it did happen. Hiro Saito and Gato are teaming up. So the return of Hiro Saito. The semi main is Hiroshi Tenzan and Manabu Nakanishi against two debutants to New Japan. They come from Michinoku Pro. It's Manji Maru and Ken 45 Degrees.
Huh. Yeah, that was an interesting call there in terms of the new guys being brought in. But it's cool that they're bringing in the more Michinoku Pro guys as well in the process, so...
Yeah, this is the first Michinoku Pro involved, as far as I know. I mean, we can't really count Dick Togo because he wasn't signed to them at that time.
Yeah,
so,
well, I mean, we've
when
had...
When he came.
Yeah, it's been mostly K-Dojo and a couple of the All Japan guys and some other...
K-Dojo, All Japan, one instance of Big Japan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're adding Michinoku Pro to that list.
And then two big returns to the lineup for Lionsgate on the K-Dojo side. Yuji Nagata in the main event and Shota Umino. The returning Ayato Yoshida and Go Asakawa. Because remember, Nagata was supposed to face off against Yoshida in a singles match, and then he got in K-Dojo. So he's been... This is his return to Lionsgate.
Yeah, there we go.
So yeah, I'm a huge fan. We're all very big fans of the Lionsgate around these parts. I like the fact we're getting two new young lions to make up for the fact that, you know, of course, Kawato is doing what he's doing in Mexico. I'd like to spend some more time when we have time discussing him. Have you guys seen what he's done in Mexico yet? Because, I mean, he's been mostly doing, you know, if it's like the Friday night Arena Mexico shows, he's in the third or second match. But it's like if it's, you know, Monday night in Puebla or the Tuesday night Arena Mexico, he's in the semi-main.
No, altogether, yeah, I'm really excited to see Lionsgate being back. Definitely going to try to get on and watch it as soon as it does end up being shown on April 10th, I believe, is the date that they're running it off from what we just talked about.
Yeah,
but
April 10th, actually.
It'll be pretty cool. A couple of new faces being seen, a couple of returns. And that's usually what these Liongate shows are all about. They're just fun for what they are. So, looking forward to exploring a little bit more of that, especially in the post-Sakura Genesis world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but yeah, especially with... I'm hearing an echo of my voice.
I think it's just the connection between us here at the hotel and you in this case. I mean, we can only do what we can do at this point, being live on location.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I know what you mean. Let's not forget tomorrow's All Japan show. The All-Asia Tag Belt, Jun Akiya and Yuji Nagata against Takao Mori and Manabu Nakanishi.
AKA the reason we don't get Blue Justice in Long Beach this year.
I know.
Fuck.
I understand,
but I'm still mad.
And we also have... the big question, of course, about that show is, will the Ace of Our Hearts regain the Triple Crown against Joe Doering? My answer is probably not.
Highly unlikely, but it'll be a very solid match between them, and Kenta will still be a winner in our hearts at the end of it, so, you know, it works.
Of course. And with Champion Carnival coming up, too, we talked about that last show. I'm loving that Champion Carnival. So hard. I mean, come on, Marufuji, Shingo, Yuji fucking Hino, and, how do you not...
Shingo Miyahara already has the potential of being on that Match of the Year candidate talks by the time that this year is done.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Shingo getting the chance to...
Yeah, I think it's great stuff. Yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
Oh, boy.
Why is he getting no love with Dragon Gate when he's so fantastic? I mean, he's like he gets no
about
love
how much
outside
of death matches. It probably just
say
has
again?
To do with the... I was gonna say it probably just it's probably because he keeps bitching about not getting to do death matches and stuff.
Really?
Shingo's a big boy. He wants to do big boy things.
He wants to wrestle in FMW, which doesn't really exist, but does.
New Japan is about as close as you can get to it at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you know, but even then, he was still wrestling in the strong division because he was teamed with Yuji Kobashi in Big Japan and got over as hell, I might add, when he was there. But, all right, so I think that's all we've really got. I wasn't fully prepared for this, but, you know, it's cool because everybody's on vacation except me.
We'll do it
so,
live.
Well, fuck it, we'll do it live. Yeah, exactly. So we're hoping this gets up before the Strong Style Evolve show.
I'll do my best.
It probably will. But you know what would be cool? If we could steal from Peter Winson of Greetings from Allentown, also here on the Place to Be Nation Pro Wrestling Leaderboard podcast. It would be great if we could rip off the opening audio that he has. From Television City in Hollywood. You know,
oh, boy.
just this one time, but. Even though it doesn't really apply because you're in Long Beach, which is about, you know, what, 45 minutes from Hollywood, I think?
35, roughly, without traffic.
35? Yeah. So.
Yeah, like maneuvering from
all right, well, since everybody
isn't as bad until you get traffic involved, and then it just gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, anywho, so I guess everybody else bugged out to go eat. You'll go to Del Taco, which is a place we did not hit the last time, but we did go to the taco truck, so...
I'm used to having Del Tacos in Colorado, so it's not as big of a deal for me, personally. Also,
see, they're not out here, so, you know, they're not out in the Midwest.
That makes more sense then, yeah.
In Virginia, we have no Del Taco, no In-N-Out, no Carl's Jr., but we got a Hardee's. And what's the other make? No Jack in the Box. We're deprived.
Jack in the Box is more West Coast than anything else, too. Because
Jack in the Box is in Indy. Although they've been in Indy long enough to see one of them close now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's like if they're around in certain other locations, and I think California, they're kind of just really scattered and not as many of them. So, yeah.
That's okay, because tonight I get to feast upon something that's only in the Chicago area up until now, which is now, they brought it into Indy now, Portillo's.
Nice.
I don't know if y'all are familiar with that. Yeah, are you familiar with Portillo's, Chris?
I am familiar with it, but I have not eaten there yet. That's an eventual goal the next time I'm in the Chicago area for sure.
You got to have Portillo's. There's Portillo's, there's Pequod's for the pizza. You gotta do Pequod's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but we'll talk Chicago some other time. All right, so everybody who's still in the room there, let's get the plugs from y'all.
Right,
where we can find y'all.
Real quick, you can find me at Brazilian Fury on Twitter. That's Brazilian with an S. Instagram, pretty much the same thing as well. Brazilian Fury, just all is one entire thing. I've been trying to use Instagram more often just to post pictures of just random stuff, like usually my wall with wrestling tickets at work that I keep updating every so often. The time is a flat circle to going there first thing I get back on Tuesday, so that will be something that happens.
As for me, Binky Days, I'm doing more Upper West. You see me, of course you won't see everything on, of course, social media, Twitter, Binky Days. Instagram, Binky Days. You can find me on Facebook, Binky Days. Hopefully I'll be going to more shows and doing more burlesque performances in my area. So if you're within the RVA, DMV, or anywhere else, hit me up. I am taking bookings. Next.
Oh. And I am at Steve Cash. Simple, short.
Sweet. Almost too sweet.
Okay.
Almost.
Alrighty then. Well, I am, of course, at Strong Style Story without the E in style. The blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. You have been listening to this through the Pro Wrestling Only Board feed through Place to Be Nation. Listen to it now on your favorite podcasting apps. Shout out to those who bugged out, like Dion, Bunches, and Jana. And yeah, so guys, just you know, have a great time at the show, and we will reconvene soon, probably after Sakura Genesis at this point, and hopefully in between that and Best of Super Junior. So.
Absolutely. We'll talk then.
So, guys,
heavyweight Taiichi's 2-for-2 in matches. Good on him, but I'm still waiting to see more.
All right, then. All right, well, guys, thanks for listening to episode 39 of the Strong Style Story Podcast. Wow, we're going to hit episode 40 when next we convene, guys.
Yep, that we are. 10 more to 50.
That is kooky. Yeah, I think 50 is the goal at this point, isn't it? I'd say so,
and then from there we just readjust accordingly as we need to. Probably aim for 100 at that point. Who knows?
Yeah, probably. So, all right, guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you all soon. Take care.
See you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.